Welcome to the Patient Partner Innovation Community Podcast, a podcast created to inform patients, families, and caregivers about important health transformation topics. Since the 2001 Crossing the Quality Chasm Report by the Institute of Medicine, our nation's healthcare system has recognized its need to improve quality of care by way of six important aims that make healthcare safe, efficient, effective, patient-centered, timely, and equitable. But we cannot hope to cross this chasm and achieve these aims until we make fundamental changes to the whole healthcare system. All levels of this work require dramatic improvements from the patient's experience. So this podcast is dedicated to you, the voices most underutilized resource in healthcare, our patients' voices. Welcome, and we hope you enjoy the Patient Partner Innovation Community Podcast.
Hi, I'm Dr. Natasha Washington, president and founder of ATW Health Solutions and sponsor for the Patient Partner Innovation Community. Follow the PPIC community online at atwhealth.com.
Well, hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of Patient Partner Innovation Community Podcast. I am your host, Desiree Bradley, and I'm going to be continuing our patient safety series. You guys know that I've been talking in the past couple episodes around patient safety, diagnostic errors, diagnostic delays, to really elevate the stories of people in the community and their family members, because the whole goal is you know better, you do better. All right, so I am happy to introduce you to my guest today, Ms. Dorothy Winningham. Welcome, Ms. Dorothy.
Thank you, Desiree. I appreciate this opportunity to share on your topic for today.
Thank you. So I know you as we've been kind of talking and getting to know each other, but our listeners don't know you. So could you take a minute, like introduce yourself, tell them who you are, and we'll go from there.
Thanks again. My name is Dorothy Winningham, as she just said, and I'm delighted to be able to share my lived experience in the era of misdiagnosis and safety. I have been a patient, family, and caregiver for over 13 years after retiring from corporate America. I started out in this role as a personal care aide for Medicare and Medicaid beneficiaries. So I feel I have some knowledge on both sides of the field. I have witnessed delayed and misdiagnosis as well as mishaps in medication. I'm currently serving as a patient, family, and caregiver advocate.
That is awesome. And you know, it's you have that dual lens, you know, because you've been, I would say, on the professional caregiver side and then as a family member support, and you elevated some really, really, really key points. I think people don't really, unless it happens to you, I would say, are your loved ones. Folks don't really understand just how common it is. And I know we were kind of talking and you shared about your family member, so I know we'll dive into that. So, you know, could you share with our listeners that kind of story you kind of shared with me about your family member and the results of what happened in the diagnostic, I would say, delay?
Yes. Be delighted to do that. I was the medical advocate and the caregiver for my brother who had diabetes. Then it went into renal disease. And then in 2012, he was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. Now, before I continue, I think it will be important that I give you a brief bio of my brother so that you can understand the significance of what occurred with him and with me, you know, alongside of him. The term now is used intellectually challenged. In other words, my brother could not read, but he could count money. He knew quarters, he knew the dimes, he knew the dollars, yeah, and all of that, but he could not read. But he would recognize pictures. But mm-hmm. if you gave him the name, I mean, if you put the word, he could not associate the picture with the word. And mm-hmm. I'm only sharing this so that you can really get a feel for my role with, you know, being his caregiver.
Yeah.
And then if you met him, you would not be able to determine that he could not read because, you know, he did everything else everyone else would do. Now, he was diagnosed, of course, with diabetes, and then later on it moved into renal kidney disease. What really disturbed me is that he was going to both his nephrologist and his endocrinologist every 3 months for tests. You know, the whole nine yards that they do, yeah, when you have, you know, major medical or chronic diseases, I should say. Mm-hmm. So they were taking the blood work and doing the, you know, checking his heart and all of that, and they missed that. They did not even know that it was there. It came about when my mother, because Kirby did live with mother, mm-hmm, she just happened to see him without his shirt on and noticed the black spark on his chest. So of course she called me and I stopped by and I asked permission first of all to touch his chest, and he said okay. When I touched it, was like a rock. Then he pulled his shirt off, it was black.
Oh my goodness.
Immediately I called his, because his diabetes doctor was also his primary care, so I called the mm-hmm. office and told him I need to get in right away. We went in and didn't even see the doctor, saw the nurse practitioner. Of course, when she looked at it, she screamed and called the doctor. And immediately we started this progress of going, getting all of the biopsies and the blood work and all of that. And so every time I talk about it, It brings back the memories.
Yeah.
So again, the thing of it is that they should have been able to catch it through the blood work and all of that. So mm-hmm. that's an example of going to the doctor. They knew that he was challenged, but it doesn't make any difference about him being that's challenged. Right. What it was is that they were supposed to have checked the blood work. And I know there is some notification that something is off kilter. And the That's reason right. I say that, because my sister had breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And it was detected in her blood work.
Mm.
So wow. I know for a fact that it can be detected. Maybe not the stage, but it can be detected in blood work.
Yeah.
Because of that. So I feel that this certainly was a misdiagnosis, not a delayed. It was missed from his doctors, his primary care, mm-hmm. and his kidney doctor, of course. So my passion now, because of what I've seen, Kirby was not the only family member. I've been caregiver to several family members, still am, even at a distance, because yeah. they would call me and share with me what's going on, and I will tell them how to proceed with talking with their doctor. And currently I'm using the same skill set with my doctor. Okay. And yeah, so my passion now is because of the experience, is to come up, and I have developed a tool, and it's titled How to Prepare for My Doctor's Appointment.
Oh I love that. I'm gonna back us up a little bit, because you sure touched on some key points. He's a male. There's yes. biases there, right? There are, I would Absolutely. Say, misconceptions that breast cancer is typically, when you think about breast cancer, you think about women. It's a woman disease, and he's a man and had breast cancer, even though no one checked, right? No one checked. The other thing too, I want to elevate here is, And this, it chokes me up. I have a child that has intellectual disabilities. So a lot of times I have to be her voice as well.
Yes.
But at what point there's no physical exam? Your mother walked in and saw his and immediately was detected from visuals.
Yes.
He's gone to the doctor, and I'm a diabetic as well. They check your skin because as diabetes, it causes wounds and what have you. No one thought, okay, he needs to have a physical assessment and we're going to check. So it has me so fired up and angry. It didn't have to get that far.
No.
And thankfully he had you to step in and be his advocate. But there's so many patients that are navigating this world alone. Elderly, where yes. they don't have any family members. You know, people, there's a lot of people that don't have a support person. And what are they supposed to do? They're dying. And it just makes me so infuriated. So, okay. He got his treatment. Did he go in remission? How was his outcomes? Did they remove it or did he do effective treatment? What did that look like?
Well, no, they did not. Initially, the doctor that was treating him mm-hmm. for the nephrologist was trying to schedule him for dialysis. Mm-hmm. And Kirby did not want that. And like I said, he could think for himself. So he did not yeah. want to do that. So it was like 3 months from the time that they were talking about putting the stent in for dialysis, then we determined that he had the breast cancer. And mm-hmm. so immediately we had to go in to get the port.
Okay.
The port in his arm so that actually his was in his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to do that. And so Kirby had dialysis and he had chemo from that same port.
Wow.
And so I was there with him through all of these trips to dialysis, this trip to the Cancer Institute for that. Because of the renal disease, a lot of times they could not give him the chemo because your white cell and your red cell has to be at a certain level and all that. We're fighting against each other. Because mm-hmm. it had gotten to a point that they were saying that he was not really being dialyzed
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because of the blood pressure and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so he made a decision because I told him, I said, when you're tired, you let me know.
Mm, mm.
And I won't forget, we were at the chemo, at the Cancer Institute. And they said, we can't dialyze him because of the blood, you know, was not, the red cell and the white cells were like out of kilter.
Yeah.
So as I was pushing him out of the hospital door, he looked at me, he said, God, I don't want to go back there.
Oh, you're gonna make me cry. Oh,
I knew then and there because I had taught him on the different scales of 1 to 10 when they ask you about the pain.
Yeah,
Kirby had a very high tolerance for pain. That's why we didn't detect, or mom didn't detect, that he was having pain up here because of his high tolerance for pain. Yeah. So I knew then and there that was it.
Yeah.
And so immediately I called hospice because he was in the institute. He was in the long-term care facility at that time. So I called hospice and I knew within 3 days, Kirby had expired.
Whew, that is, you know, but I'll say that hit me hard. That hit me hard, Miss Dorothy. So thinking about the book we shared. So I know, you know, I want to make sure you talk about the book that was inspired by your brother and the journey.
Yeah. Well, because I took notes at every appointment
mm-hmm.
and he and I would, you know, initially I would take him to be dialyzed. Kirby got to a point that he could not walk, and that started his stay in long-term facility because he was a heavy man. Mom was in the older house. They couldn't push the wheelchair in and out of her bathroom. And we couldn't lift him out of the bed because of his size. And so that's why we had to put him in a facility. And I was there too. I would always meet him at these locations. Yeah. The man would go to the facility, pick him up. I would meet them there. But prior to that, when I was driving him back and forth, he and I would have such wonderful conversations. And I even wrote that in the book, but how we just, my family just close in a way, but I got to see another side of Kirby, you know, because I was married. And so I was not in the house, and I got to see another side of him. And I was so depressed and upset behind it. I just prayed and I got this inclination, take your notes and put it down on paper. And after I did that, my husband was saying, you need to publish this. Someone can get some, something from it, you know. And what it is, it's a tribute to my brother, Kirby Lee Edwards, because I share with them who he was. What he did, how he accepted what had happened to him. And it helped me. And it's amazing. Every now and then I'll go back and I pick this book and I'll read it. Maybe not the entire book, just a section of it.
Yeah.
Because I miss him so much. Yeah.
I know you do. And oftentimes, you know, people will hear me not just with P-Pig, but in my family, everywhere I go, I tell people, your story has power. Your story has power. Share the stories, because we need to. My hope is one day that diagnostic error, diagnostic delay, misdiagnosis isn't even a thing. Put us out of business, please. We really need to not have to pass and die, expire unintentionally. So with that being said, you know, because our podcast listeners come from all walks of life. We've got patients in the community, C-suite leaders, federal partners, and everybody in between. Thinking about the providers that are listening, the docs, the clinicians, what advice would you give them to ensure that patients like your brother do not fall through the cracks?
Know your patients. They knew that he was, you know, intellectually challenged. And when I started going with him, I noticed that his physician, they were talking about football. And I'm sitting there like, you know, I give him that opportunity to do that. And then I'm like, where's the next step?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't recall him touching Kirby. In other words, he didn't go over and look at him and see, this was the same doctor as my mother's doctor. And the same thing happened to her. He never touched her. He would sit there. You know how they did before? They would touch your leg and say, how you doing? That never happened.
A physical exam.
Exactly. That's that. Because when he used the stethoscope to do this, he would have felt it. So even if I'm not telling the truth, the result tells the truth. Because if he had done that, he would have felt it. Am I correct?
That's correct.
So for the doctors, they need to give their patients, know them, give them a physical exam. They know they have chronic disease. All the areas that they're supposed to take a look at it. And my mother was of the age, you know, she didn't know that much about medicine and herself, you know, and all of that. She did not know how to ask questions of any of that. That's why I became her caregiver. So it is important that the doctors even inquire, is there someone that can come with you that can help you retain this information? Mm-hmm. Write down, even if they don't ask for it, have someone write down information so mm-hmm. that the patient can carry it with them and can share it with someone. Maybe they don't understand it, but someone must be in their life.
Yeah.
Take a look at it and help them understand what is going on with them. So that's about three things that, you know.
Yes, that's key. Three things. And I'm going to tell you, Ms. Dorothy, I've heard this before in our other patient safety series guests about the no touch. And I'm just like, have we gotten so far away? I know technology and everybody's like AI. We still need to have that physical touch, that physical assessment. It is like, I understand COVID and put us all in, oh, don't touch and that's social distance and all that. But at the end of the day, patients still need good care and
absolutely.
Touch a patient. So thinking about, I'm going to flip this. So thinking about patients, what advice would you give all the patients that are listening to this podcast to help them get a better, I would say, a timely diagnosis? What advice would you give them?
This is part of the program that I'm developing, that they need to prepare to go in to see their doctors. There's several reasons you go to a doctor, because you have an acute situation and most likely they can take care of that right away, but it could be the result of something of a chronic illness. But you go for your annual, you go for your semi-annual. Then persons with chronic disease will go three months perhaps. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying prepare. If there are changes in your body, in your mental state, make note of it. And even if you, that's why it's important to have that person, that caregiver. And it doesn't have to be that title. There's someone there to help you document how you're feeling and what's going on, and also a timeline. Mm-hmm. And when you go in, have your notepad. Mm-hmm. Let the doctor do all this, how you're doing while you're here. I have so many stories. It will probably take 2 days. Oh. I'm serious. But anyway, when you go in, when they get off track, you have to bring them back and say, I came here for. Have your notepad there and a pencil. Tell them what you're dealing with. Give them a good description of your pain level. And then if they start prescribing medication and all of that, I'm gonna be honest with you. A lot of time the doctor, when you come in, they ask you about your medication. But when the doctor's prescribing, I got a good example for that medication. They don't have in mind what you're currently on. Mm-hmm. So you as the patient need to know that you're on certain medication. You've already provided that. But when they start adding medication, you say, well, you know, I'm taking so and so and so. How is that going to work with what I'm taking? So the patient has to be just as involved in their care as the person they go in to see. Mm-hmm. So be able to describe your symptoms, when they started, what the pain mm-hmm. level, etc. Know your medication. So if they start talking about more medication, you can ask questions. You may not know the name and say, well, I'm taking so and so and so. Ask what it's for, first of all. And they say something that you're currently taking for that same, then you're not questioning them, you're more inquiring about the medication. Mm-hmm. And then always have someone there to help you. Have your conversation outside of the doctor's office and say, hey, look, if I look at you, I want you to chime in. Mm-hmm. I want you there to help, to support me in my decision and what you hear. And mm-hmm. I want you to write it down.
I love that. Write it down. And I tell you, the older I get, I have to write stuff down. I have to
write it too.
When I was in my early 20s, I felt like I could remember the whole encyclopedia, but I'm aging myself. I don't even think they have encyclopedias anymore.
But it's outdated.
Yeah, right. Everything's so digital.
This has nothing to do with you. I'm talking about me now.
And, you know, writing it down, because it can be overwhelming. And it's like, okay, you know, I was just in a hospital recently. And I swear these people asked me five, and I'm a pretty savvy patient. These people asked me like five different times, medication. I'm like, and I gave them, you know, my meds. But I forgot one. And it wasn't, I was sitting in the bed and I said, oh, I forgot. Because the hospital I went to wasn't my regular hospital where all my medication, everything's in their electronic health record. So for them, I'm a clean slate. They only have what I tell them.
Ah,
I forgot. And the nurse, I hit the little buzzer and I said, I forgot this medicine. And she was like, oh, you should have told us that, because you need to be taking that. And I said, I know, I forgot. It's life is busy and this and that. And crazy. So it can be missed. Well, I'll tell you what, this has been a really great conversation. I hope that the folks listening got some value, whether you're a provider, a community partner, or a C-suite leader, wherever you sit, like really digest the fact that we have to do a better job and really make patient safety a priority in this space, in this healthcare ecosystem again. You guys tune in to the next one, because we're actually going to do a part two with Miss Dorothy, and she's going to go all into her resources and toolkit, and you get to dive deep. So I urge you to look for part two, because it'll be coming up. But thank you so much, Miss Dorothy, for taking this time to elevate your brother's story. Again, his story has power and will make changes. I truly believe that.
Thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to share.
Wonderful. And as always, guys, I want to thank our wonderful sponsor and supporter, Dr. Natasha Washington at ATW Health Solutions. And as always, guys, be engaged.
Follow the PPIC community online at atwhealth.com.